You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
On the agenda for Cabinet today is a ban on electroconvulsive therapy for under-18s, a reform of migration procedures, and they'll seek approval to allow people affected by defective concrete blocks to apply for increased grants and even retrospectively for some costs. But the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council has warned that the government is spending the budget like there's no tomorrow. We'll get into that and lots more with News Talk's political correspondent, host of the Let Me Explain podcast, Sean Defoe. Sean, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, it seems like a very crammed agenda. I don't know how many hours they're going to meet for, but they can't seriously review all of this stuff and give it the nod.
Look, most of it, some of it has been well flagged. If you look at the likes of the immigration rules, for example, that are going to cabinet. And look, a lot of the time, realistically, when we're talking about a cabinet meeting, it is very much giving it a nod. It's not, I can't remember the last time there was a vote at cabinet. They all consider this collectively and will have been briefed on some of it beforehand. So even though it is a busy agenda, I would expect most, if not all of this, to get the nod through today.
Yeah. Now, the mental health bill, 300 amendments being pushed.
That's very significant. And look, a lot of that is going to be examined in the Dáil through committee stage and will be gone through line by line. And I suppose the one that has gotten the attention is what you mentioned in the introduction there, and that is the ban on electroconvulsive therapy for under 18s. And I suppose when people think about this, no more than myself, when you think about it, you think of very archaic, a very old electric therapy that was done on people with mental health issues, often against their will in the past. I mean, it is a treatment that they cite as a treatment of kind of last resort for some conditions, including depressive disorder, bipolar, schizophrenia, and experts do say that it is now and can be done on adults in a humane way while they are usually under anaesthesia. But the proposal that is going before cabinet today, pushed by Mary Butler and the Health Minister, Jennifer Carroll McNeill, would be to prohibit that therapy to under 18s, and then as well to make some changes to introduce the ability for the district court to act as a sub-decision maker on behalf of children in places where it's not possible for whatever sort of a family reason to get a parental consent or for the parents to refuse to that treatment. So something that should very much be done as a last resort, but won't be done in the future for children.
Now, another measure that is going to seek cabinet approval is the idea that if you sign up to your broadband or mobile phone provider, that they can't kind of, if they increase it, which they give themselves the right to during the term of your contract, that you can say, no, I'm out of here.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Yeah, and this is one of the most annoying things about recent broadband and mobile contracts, and lots of people will have experienced it over the last few years, where you sign up and you might have done a bit of shopping around and you might have gotten quite a decent deal and you think, great, I can lock that in for 24 months. And then you get into the terms and conditions and they say, by the way, even though we promised you broadband for €40 a month or whatever it is, we're still going to increase it every March or April by 3% plus inflation, which okay, it's not going to break the bank any one time they do it, but the fact that it is, would be now baked into your yearly costs and that every year that's going up, and you couldn't break that contract then to go and shop around and try to get a better deal. Now, in the UK, they've actually banned them from doing that. So a lot of politicians yesterday were saying, well, why aren't we following through and just banning this altogether? Instead, the way Patrick O'Donovan has gone down the route, differing from Eamon Ryan in the last government, who sort of said it was a market issue, he is instead bringing forward legislation that would allow you to opt out. So even if you sign up for, if you sign up today for a 24-month contract on your mobile or on your broadband, and then come April, they'll have to give you 30 days notice that that is going to go up by whatever percent it is. And at that point, you would be able to break the contract without any sort of penalty.
So it should make switching, therefore, much easier, that you can just say, okay, I'm out of here. I see a better deal from another provider. I'll take that. And if they jack it up, I'll go to a third provider.
Exactly. And you hop around, and it's a bit of a pain to do, because particularly with broadband, sometimes they have to come and take away the box, or you have to post away the box. So they don't make it easy to switch an awful lot of the time when you're doing this, but it gives you that option. Now, look, opposition TDs have said, why not just take it away altogether? Like I said, instead of putting the onus on people to have the time to shop around, to have the time to switch, make those phone calls, which are often during 9 to 5 office hours, and you could be waiting a half an hour to get through to someone. So this is not entirely fixing the problem. You still have to do a bit of legwork yourself, but it does give you the option to get out of that contract.
Okay, I mean, presumably the company would have to accept an email from you, you know, because they're dated and timed. So 4 o'clock today, I'm out. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, look, you could. I'm not 100% sure do all of them accept it. In fact, sometimes I remember trying to cancel my broadband last year and I couldn't for love nor money find a number, because I just prefer talking to someone and I find you get a better deal doing it.
Well, let's
that
hope
way.
That the minister then sorts out the legislation with that included, that there's got to be an easy way, not just the right to do it, but the facility to do it. Anyway, moving on. Defective concrete blocks back in the news.
Back in the news, this is an update to the bill being brought by James Brown. So a couple of changes to it that will affect some people. With mica blocks and other defective blocks, in that they will be able to apply retrospectively for certain fees. Look, a lot of detail and kind of complexity in this, so I don't know each and every case in which people will be able to do it, but they will be able to show, if they have unpaid invoices at the moment, they will be able to show that to their council and put in the claim, essentially, that they should have a backdated payment, an increased payment made. And this is relevant if they had their initial award decision made before October of last year. Also changes as well to at which point or how long they will have to do the work. It had been, I think, 65 weeks. That is now going up to 130 weeks. So a little more than 2 years to complete that work instead of the 1 year that was there.
A reflection, I suppose, of the building climate at the moment. I suppose the most contentious thing today at Cabinet might be changes in migration rules.
I think so. And these have been well flagged over the last few days, but will be contentious, and they go across a number of areas. So one that has got an awful lot of ventilation is about people who are in the asylum system and are working, having to pay towards their accommodation. And that will range from sort of 10 to 40% at the upper end, depending what they're earning. Could be as low as €15 a week. If they're earning around 150 a week, it could be as high as €238, which is closer to the 40% mark. And I think the principle that people would have to pay for the accommodation they're in if they're working is one a lot of people would say is relatively fair. What refugee groups and indeed left-wing opposition parties are saying is that actually the conditions in these IPAS centres are pretty awful. In some cases, these people are living in tents. Why should they have to then, on top of that, pay for the privilege of living in a cold and drafty tent?
The devil will be in the detail, I'm sure, because there are obviously, as you say, different standards of accommodation. Now, a lot of money being spent on all of these things. What about the advice from the Fiscal Advisory Council, which advice has been ignored thus far?
Budgeting like there's no tomorrow is what the Fiscal Advisory Council has said about this government, and put it up to new Finance Minister Simon Harris to deal with. And this budget was a bit weird in that we didn't get projections beyond 2026 for the economy and for what spending would be there. In fact, it was very late in the day. A lot of the usual summer economic statement detail that we get wasn't there in July, and indeed wasn't there until the last few days before this particular budget. It's a funny one, because I listened yesterday in the Dáil to the likes of Mary Lou McDonald and other left-wing TDs say how this budget did nothing for the vast majority of people who are facing maybe energy bill uncertainty or whatever throughout this winter. And on the flip side, then this morning, you see the Fiscal Advisory Council saying they're basically being flahoolic with the money, and particularly critical of the government not putting aside as much next year from these one-off, or what could be one-off, corporation tax receipts. They're estimating that by the end of the decade, as little as 9% of those one-offs could be saved by the government, compared to 32% this year. And it's falling to, I think, 15 or 16% next year. So a pretty stark warning from a body that, let's be honest, even though it was set up after the financial crash to make sure we don't repeat the mistakes of the financial crash, is very rarely actually listened to by the government.
Sean Defoe, our political correspondent, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.